What should you include in your wedding planner contract? Hi, I'm Debbie Quain. You're listening to another episode of Weddings for a Living. This segment is the Frequently Asked Questions series. So if you are passionate about planning weddings, especially if you're new to planning weddings for others for a fee, then this segment is for you. So when you decide that you're planning weddings for someone else for a fee, there needs to be an understanding between you and the other person or the couple, two people getting married, right? So, of course, there could be a verbal agreement, but a verbal agreement is almost impossible to prove later on if there's a problem. Hopefully, there'll never be a problem. So the way to avoid this scenario and to make sure that everyone understands one another is to put this in writing in the form of a contract. So you need a wedding planner's contract when you start your wedding planning business. Now, I tend to use the term letter of agreement, and I mean the same thing. Letter of agreement, wedding planner contract. For me, in this scenario, it's the same thing. So at this stage, when you're ready to sign, complete a contract, you will have already met with your prospects, meaning a couple who are interested in the services that you have to offer as a professional wedding planner, and they're ready to move forward. So what do you need to include in your wedding planner's contract? Well, first, you need to make sure you have a wedding planner's contract layout ready to go. A boilerplate or a template, which means you're just going to fill in the blanks, as it were, with the details specific to the wedding that you're planning. Please don't wait until you have clients or potential clients and then scramble to find a wedding planner's contract. You should have something available ready to go. Now, on weddingsforliving.com, you can find a contract, one that you can download and use as a template. You shouldn't use it as is, and I'll explain a bit about that later on. So I will provide the link to that page in the show notes for today's episode. So when someone says, okay, we want to move forward, you want to have a wedding planner's contract ready to go. Now for me, when I'm meeting with my clients, once we've done the face-to-face meeting, my prospects. So clients are clients only when a contract has been signed. Prior to a contract being signed, These people are your prospects. Usually at that face-to-face meeting, if they decide to move forward, I don't usually have a contract ready to go. And that's because I usually have to customize it. The exception to that is if they are signing up for a package which is clear cut. So for example, day of wedding coordination is where you come in as a professional wedding coordinator towards the end of the wedding planning process. Your clients have already planned their wedding, and you are, in essence, going to create a timeline, connect with their wedding vendors, and you and your team will be there on their wedding day. So for that service, it's pretty clear cut in my world anyway. So having a contract ready to go is super easy and can actually be filled out on the spot during that meeting. I'm just basically filling in my client's name, their address, and the payment dates. So unless that's the case, what's probably going to happen is once your client, prospects client. Once your prospects have given you the thumbs up, then what you'll likely say is, okay, I will send over a contract to you later on today or tomorrow. And the key is you want to do that as soon as possible. Waiting longer than 24 hours to send your prospects a wedding planner's contract is a surefire way to have them change their mind. So you want to get in there as quickly as possible. So the information that you need to have ready to go on your template of the wedding planner's contract is a list of the services that you are going to provide. Now, if you're operating with packages, meaning you have a package A, B, C, or whatever you're calling them, then you can have contracts for each of those packages. And as I mentioned, with the day of contract, it's pretty much ready to go. But you need, your contract must specify exactly what it is that you're going to do. This is one area where you don't want to generalize. If you're meeting with them three times throughout the wedding planning process, say that. How long is each meeting? Is it going to be 2 hours? Then specify 3 2-hour face-to-face meetings with clients. If you're doing 5 vendor visits with them, meaning you're accompanying them to go meet other professional wedding vendors, say so. If you are setting up centerpieces for them, say so and specify that. If you're going to be in attendance for 5 hours on the wedding day, say that, not just attendance on the wedding day. So I was really wary of this because initially I wanted to have a letter of agreement / contract that is on my letterhead, that I print my contracts on my letterhead, but I didn't want it to be really, really long and have a lot of information. I realize now, as an experienced professional wedding planner, that having more information is always better. Because remember, a contract is making sure that both sides, me and my clients, understand what it is we're both supposed to do. For my clients, they know what I will do in my professional capacity and what I won't do. I'll talk about that in a minute. And I, the wedding planner, know what the expectations are for my clients, usually for payment, the amounts and the dates that they're going to send me payments, and the things that they're going to compensate me for. For example, expenses that I may incur, things like that. So having more information is good. The thing is, you want to make it as plain in plain English as possible. If you've ever worked with an attorney, and hopefully you will do this for your wedding planner's contract, he or she is going to want to insert a lot of legalese terms. So for some portions of the wedding planner's contract, that may not be, it's unavoidable. But for the most part, when it comes to the description of the things that you are going to do, list those things out as clearly and as detailed as you can as possible. You want to make sure you include, and I alluded to this, what you will not do. So if you are a professional wedding planner, but you are not going to be setting up decor, you're not putting tablecloths on tables at the wedding reception setup, specify that. Say so on your wedding planner's contract. I find that with new wedding planners, there's this hesitancy to say what you won't do. And a part of that comes down to us wanting to do so much for our clients. But it's good to say up front, this is what I'm going to do, and actually more importantly, and these are the things that are not included with this package or with this pricing. Speaking of pricing, it's important that you include your compensation, your total fees, the initial deposit, and the payment schedule. Are you dividing the payment up into 3 parts? If so, what are the amounts due and what are the dates? Are you collecting all of the money up front? Specify that. When's the last payment due? And by the way, make sure your last payment is received a few days before the actual wedding. Specify that. Having details is not a problem. You want to make sure that everybody understands up front and not throwing out any surprises towards the end. You want to also include cancellation and change policy. What will happen if the wedding is called off? What will happen if you, the wedding planner, have to call the wedding off? Not call the wedding off, of course not. If you're unable to fulfill your obligation as a wedding planner. Also include what will be the backup plan. And you should have a backup plan. If you're planning a wedding that's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months away, if something happens prior to that time or right around the time of the wedding, what will happen if you're unable to be there? What is the plan? Your wedding planner's contract should specify those details. You also want to include an act of God clause, and that basically means things that are out of your control. If there is a hurricane that hits the town of the wedding and renders the wedding, it's not possible for the wedding to happen, then what will happen? Your contract needs to specify those things. And the thing with the contract, all of the information that I'm mentioning here, and again, you can get a sample contract or letter of agreement on weddingsforliving.com, means nothing until that contract is signed. So what will happen is you will print out your contract, and then you're going to fill in the blanks with your couple's name, their information, both parties, the date of the wedding, the time of the wedding, the location of the wedding. Those pieces of information must be listed within the contract. It has to that information needs to be specified. The contract is not an executable contract until it is signed. So once it's been printed and the information that I just mentioned has been filled in, what you will then do is print it in an ideal world and have your client sign it. Then you sign it. Please don't sign this contract before your client sign it. And the reason for that is once you print the contract out, your clients, well, prospects until they sign it, right, will go through and read it. If there's anything on there that they don't agree with, they actually have the right to line through it and initial it. You then have the right to either agree with those changes or reject those changes. However, if you sign the contract before they've had a chance to review it, you're basically agreeing to whatever it is, whatever changes they make afterward. So this is why you provide your contract completed to your clients, have them sign it, then you countersign it. If there are two people that are responsible for paying for your wedding planner services, and usually that's the case. You got two people getting married. They both need to sign it. If a parent or someone else is involved financially, that individual needs to sign it. If three people are helping pay, three people should sign the contract. Having less people on the contract is easier because then you'll know who to answer to. But by the signatures, by the couple and whomever else is signing it, they are equally responsible for paying your fee. Once they've signed it, you sign it. What I like to do is to print the same contract. I print it twice and have my prospects, I was about to say clients again, have them sign each one, and I then countersign each one. So we got two originals floating around. Worst case scenario, one letter, one contract is signed, and then a copy is made. But having originals for everyone is a good thing. Now, if you aren't there to physically present the contract to your clients and you need to send it via email, for example, you want to make sure you send the file in a non-editable format. When I'm creating my wedding planner's contract, the template is in Word, Microsoft Word. I can edit it, make changes, add the client's names, add the wedding date, the details and so forth, the payment amounts. But when I'm sending that via email, I'm not sending it as a Word document, because in the same manner that I am able to make edits to the contract, if I send a Word document to someone else, the recipient is also able to make changes. So what I do is convert that document to a PDF format, which is readable by just about everyone and any type of software. And once they receive it, any changes that they need to make, they have to manually make those changes, as opposed to getting a Word document where it can be manipulated. So if you're emailing a contract, make sure you email it in a PDF format. So the details that I mentioned on your contract are important. I mentioned the key things. But what you really should do is to have a local attorney review your contract. Again, you can find a sample on the weddingsforliving.com website, but that's a starting point. You need to have a local attorney to review that, because the laws vary by state, by country. So what may seem to be airtight to you may not be the case. The good news is that by having a template, you've got a starting point. So you're not asking an attorney to create a wedding planner contract from scratch. You've got a starting point where they can add and manipulate, and my guess is they're going to add a few bits and pieces to your contract. Again, this is a boilerplate document. The idea is that it should not require a whole lot of tweaking on your end, other than the details that are specific to your client. Now, when you take this wedding planner's contract for your attorney to review, he or she is going to bat for you. And he or she is going to want to insert some things in there that may not make complete sense to you, especially if it's written in that legalese term with words with tons of syllables in them. But the idea is that the attorney is trying to protect you. So it's a fine balance. And if you can come to some common ground, that's good. But please don't skip going to an attorney to review the wedding planner contract template. And the contract has to be, for lack of a better term, has to be the Bible for the wedding planning project. What's on your wedding planner's contract is what you will do. Do not deviate from what's written in your contract. If your contract specifies that you will do 3 meetings with your clients for 2 hours each, then there should be 3 meetings for 2 hours each. If there needs to be an extra meeting, that needs to be put in writing. And that can be done in the form of a change order, which is basically a document that references the contract that and that it exists, but it's basically saying we're adding this on and this goes along with the contract, and then maybe an additional fee that goes along with that too. But for the most part, what you say in your contract is what you've got to stick to. And I want to make mention of pricing. Pricing is important, and that's not what this episode is about. Pricing of your fee, the fees that you charge. Make sure that you've taken the time to calculate your fees correctly, because the amount that you list on the contract is pretty much it. So if you estimate that your time for this plan is what the service that you're providing is $1,000 based on the hours and the people that you've got to pay, your staff and so forth. If afterwards you determine that really the amount you should have charged your clients was $1,200, you cannot then go back and change the amount of the contract to reflect that. That's just a bad calculation on your part, and you have to take that as a loss. The time when the amount can change in the contract is if you are actually doing something more. But if you have basically written down your package of your list of services, the description of your services, and then you realize in hindsight you undercharge, that's on you. It is what it is. It's easier to sort of break down a price really than it is to add, unless you're adding more services. And I hope that makes sense. In addition to the wedding planner's contract, you want to make sure that your clients also have contracts from each of the wedding vendors that they're working with. So the caterer, the photographer, the florist, each of those individuals should have their own contract with your client. You're primarily providing a role as a planner or a coordinator. The exception to that is if you are acting in the role as of an all-inclusive service, meaning your client is paying you one fee and then you're pretty much paying the vendors. But if you are acting as a professional wedding planner, meaning you are not actually responsible for providing the individual services, you're not providing the food, you're not responsible for providing flowers, then your clients must have contracts with each of those individual vendors. And the same information that's included on your wedding planner's contract, the things that I mentioned, the act of God, description of services, the cancellation policy, all of those things should be in place on the vendor's contract. So train your eyes to look for those things too. And if a vendor is providing your client with a contract that is missing some of those items, it's a good thing for you to point that out and say, well, it doesn't specify on here XYZ. But it's really, really important that you have a wedding planner's contract. I hear too many tales of wedding planners who are so involved and so excited for working with someone that they agree to do business on a handshake. That's risky behavior for you, and it also isn't clear. It lacks clarity. Neither party can really know for sure what has been agreed, but when it's in writing, each person is forced to go through line by line and make sure there's a common understanding. Okay? So that's basically the information that needs to be part of your wedding planner's contract. Please don't do business without one. Don't wait until you have clients to scramble to find a wedding planner's contract. Please don't use the template as is. Use it as a starting point. And I'm talking about the template, the letter of agreement, the wedding planner's contract that is on the weddingsforaliving.com website. That's just a starting point. And if that wedding planner's contract is not sufficient for you, another thing that you can do is to go to your local office supply store where they have standard contracts and use that as a starting point. Maybe see what information is included in some of those contracts and combine the two. The key is you still want someone who is familiar with the laws of your area to review the details of the contract. For example, in some states in the United States, when a contract is signed, there are a number of days where the person has an opportunity to change their mind. In some cases, it's 24 hours. In some cases, it's as much as 3 days. It varies. So knowing that is important. You need to know that. When a client has signed your contract, if you're living in an area where they have 3 days to change their mind, then you may not be as gung-ho to get things going. You might sort of pace yourself to cover the 3 days of buyer's remorse, as it were. Do not start planning your client's wedding and completing tasks until that contract is executed, no matter what you are told, no matter how warm and fuzzy the conversation is. Wait until that contract is signed. And the signature is just one part of it. I fail to focus on this. Usually there's a deposit that needs to accompany that contract. So even though the contract is signed, if the deposit has not been paid, you don't move a muscle. The two go hand in hand. And in some instances, and this has happened before, I remember specifically a destination wedding that I worked on. The client that I met with, a prospect, I did that again, client prospect, and they weren't sure which level of planning service they wanted me to complete. All they knew that I was the planner for them. Isn't that a great feeling? But they couldn't decide at which level. So in order for them to secure me and to guarantee my services, what I did was I completed a letter that basically said, this is the date of our wedding, this is the location, and we definitely want Debbie's involvement with regard to the planning. We're just not sure at what level of service. This deposit and signature of this letter is our good faith, our intention of doing business with Debbie. And that was how they secured my services. And then once they decided on the level of service that they wanted me, my help, my involvement in for the wedding, then we deducted that deposit, included that as part of the final amount. So again, having that in writing, it wasn't really a complete contract, but having that letter with their signature and my signature, and the key part being the deposit, I was now secured as their professional wedding planner. So don't use things like that as an excuse for moving forward without having the information in writing. And there are lots of different resources now where contracts can be signed, I'm doing the air quotes right now, online. But I want to make sure you understand the foundation and the basics of your wedding planner's contract. Again, please, please, please don't do business without it. Okay? As always, if you have any questions, I'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to call the listener talkback line on weddingsforliving.com. The number to call is 202-681-2126. I had to think about that. 202-681-2126, and let me know your thoughts. As always, post your comments and feedback on the episode for today's show, which I believe is weddingsforliving.com/387. I'm Debbie Quain. I hope you learned something fabulous today. As always, go out there and make lots of money and lots of love and success.
Passionate about weddings? Staying awake at night wondering if you could be a professional wedding planner? If you'd like to get paid to plan weddings, download Debbie's free audio class, 7 Truths Every Wedding Planner Should Know, and discover 7 insider secrets about what it takes to run your own successful wedding planning business. Go to weddingsforaliving.com today and get instant access to this information-packed audio class. It's yours free at weddingsforaliving.com. Go to weddingsforaliving.com now.
Visit weddingsforaliving.com.